Thereafter, the spiritual master, Sukracharya, being inspired by the Supreme Lord, cursed his exalted disciple, Bali Maharaj, who was so magnanimous and fixed in truthfulness that instead of respecting his spiritual master's instructions, he wanted to disobey his order. Report. The difference between the behavior of Bali Maharaj and that of his spiritual master, Sukracharya, was that Bali Maharaj had already developed love of Godhead, whereas Sukracharya, being merely a priest of routine rituals, had not. Thus, Sukracharya was never inspired by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to develop in devotional service, as stated by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita 10.10, Tesham Satatayutanam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yenaman Utayanti Te. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Devotees who actually engage in devotional service with faith and love are inspired by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vaishnavas are never concerned with ritualistic smarta brahmanas. Srila Sanatana Goswami has therefore compiled Hari Bhakti Vilas to guide the Vaishnavas who never follow the smarta vidhi. Although the Supreme Lord is situated in the core of everyone's heart, unless one is a Vaishnava, unless one is engaged in devotional service, one does not get sound advice by which to return home back to Godhead. Such instructions are meant only for devotees. Therefore, in this verse, the word Daiva Prahita, being inspired by the Supreme Lord, is important. Sukracharya should have encouraged Bali Maharaj to give everything to Lord Vishnu. This would have been a sign of love for the Supreme Lord. But he did not do so. On the contrary, he wanted to punish his devoted disciple by cursing him. I thought I would just take a couple minutes to say point out a few the glories of two of the personalities who's are being honored today. And one is Raghunandana Thakur, and he is one of the limbs of Lord Chaitanya's tree, a great lover and servant of Lord Chaitanya from very, very early age. And his descendants are still in Katwa. It'd be nice to meet them. And he was very, very devoted. And one time Lord Chaitanya came to their home in Katwa and asked his father, Mukundadat, who is actually the father? Is Mukundadat the father and Raghunandana the son? And Mukundadat thought for a minute and said, no, actually, Raghunandana is the father and Mukundadat is the son. Because all this love that we've attained is only through the love of and devotion of Raghunandana. And it's described that the spiritual master is one who is full of love for the Lord. So actually, because I've only attained love because of Raghunandana's love, so he's actually my spiritual master, he's my father. And Lord Chaitanya agreed to this. So yes, this is true. So Lord Chaitanya was glorifying Raghunandana, so we can imagine the potency that Raghunandana had to distribute the love of Godhead throughout all of Bengal. And then I thought of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Every single day when we read Srimad Bhagavatam, somehow or other, Prabhupada was saying throughout all his books and his purports, oh, according to the commentary by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, this, that. So we can understand what an absolute authority Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is. His teachings are so valuable, and Prabhupada used them to make all these transcendental purports, and he gives credit to using Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comments. So you can imagine what a perfect devotee he was, that he was actually able to transmit all that knowledge that he was receiving from Krishna into these writings, into these commentaries. So right now I'm reading Uddhava Gita, which is the commentaries are by Srila Bhakti Sanatana Saraswati Thakur and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. It's quite enlivening to read that. So we should have great respects and wish that in some lifetime maybe we can meet all, at least one of all these personalities. I mean, who wouldn't, you know, spend all their money for a plane ticket if you could go and knew that Vishnu Priya was, you know, over in New York City or something. I mean, any one of these personalities, just to meet them for a minute, to just sit next to them, you become inspired. And so that's the, that is the message in this purport today about becoming inspired. And as we see here by these two personalities, they inspired others with their devotion, and because of that, we are becoming very inspired. We're so fortunate. But here it's a little strange because here we're hearing that Krishna has inspired this demon consciousness of Sukracharya, that he actually wants to curse his nice disciple who's trying to surrender to Krishna. So what is this? You know, what is this inspiration that Krishna? Why is Krishna doing this? So it's a little bit bewildering, but we see this happen many times, like Aranyakashipu. He had to be pretty inspired to stand on the tip of his toes, you know, and be eaten up by termites and the whole thing, you know. So, you know, Krishna was inspiring him somehow or other to do that. So it's a little hard to explain. Now, it's even hard to explain what inspiration is. I mean, you can imagine the scientists with their little dissecting tools probing into a brain, because they must figure that, oh, it must come from the brain, all this inspiration, and poking around trying to find out, oh, is it the cells, is it the synapses of the nerves, or maybe it's some chemical juggling. But then if you ask them, well, how come some people get inspired to kill millions of Jews? Is that some weird chemical over in this department? And how come some people are inspired to save thousands of people and go, you know, be like Mother Teresa? You know, how does that get explained? Because it doesn't come from the brain. Krishna might inspire us through our intelligence, but it's not some tangible thing that you're going to find with your little probing tools and your microscope. But even ourselves, if we think about this situation, you know, how come it is that Krishna's given this inspiration? And then most of us would probably come to the conclusion, which is not incorrect, but that actually is part of Krishna's lila. He's done this many times just to teach us, to give some messages. We see here, again, so many messages are being brought out in this whole pastime. So sometimes Krishna does this. He wants to fight with a demon. He just wants to use his arm muscles or have fun or joking. So he might inspire them in some way and inspire someone else in a different way. But if we look into, take our microscope and look into the scripture just a little bit more, we find that actually you have to go to the heart. The inspiration comes from the heart. And because that is where the Chaitanya Guru is, Keshava mentioned, the guru of the heart. That's the super soul. He's inside there. It's described that there's two little birds sitting in there. I don't know that you see the birds if you open up the heart, but one of them is me, one of them is you, and then there's Krishna, the other bird, and he's been in there a very long time, and he, according to scriptures, it says that he inspires every single activity of everyone daily. Busy person. And we've heard the expression, you know, you're heart is like an open book, you know. So you can imagine Krishna sitting there looking at the pages of, for instance, my book. Some pretty bad chapters in there. Really bad chapters from other lifetimes, even from this lifetime. You want to flip over them. But Krishna has to see all of them, of everybody, all these different activities. And he's had to sanction them. Because he says in scripture also that he's not partial. That he treats everyone equally. So here we see he's treating Bali Maharaj in one way, and Sukracharya, he's inspiring him in another way. But we can see that not only is he partial, but he's also, something can attract him, his attention. Like he can be motivated and inspired in different ways himself. Just like Bali Maharaj is desire. He wants to surrender. He wants to get closer to Krishna. So therefore Krishna says, oh, finally you're looking at me, little bird. Oh, now this person's looking at me. It caught my attention. Okay, I will inspire you to come closer to me. And then he sees Sukracharya, wanting to take Bali Maharaj farther away. And so he says, yeah, go ahead, do your business. I'm supposed to, give you some inspiration, do everything. Okay, go ahead, but be prepared for the punishment. Be prepared for the results, and go farther away. Bhagavad Gita explains that the demons that are really super demoniac, again and again, Krishna will send them to other situations where they, be a demon amongst other demons. Be bigger demon, go farther and farther away. So Krishna is not partial, but he, according to how we can attract his attention, just like my daughter teaches over at the school, and she was saying how she was going to be observed, and I said, what are you going to be teaching? And she says, I'm going to be teaching fractions. And I go, how many students, are into that? Because, math wasn't my favorite subject by any means. And it isn't usually of a lot of students. And she goes, well, about half and half. About half of them are into math and half aren't. And you can see where she would be inclined and more inspired herself if more people were, interested in what she was going to have to teach. So therefore, she would be able to inspire them more and more. So it's definitely a two-way street. But we want to definitely move closer to Krishna. This should be the desire of ourselves, being that little bird. And it describes in the Bhagavad Gita that as they surrender to me, I will reward you accordingly. So there it is. Krishna's letting us know what we really should take up. Now this word inspiration, in the dictionary, it's described as an immediate influence that is given by God or a God. And so the origin of this word actually is religious. It actually pertains to this inspiration coming from God, and not just from the brain. But we can see that, I don't know if you've ever been to a revival around here. You might want to drop in sometime when you see those white tents up and saying there's a revival. That sometimes they get these super inspirations from God and they really exhibit them. And they're shaking and everything. We can't say that it's not true, that actually this is, they're desiring, something from God. And Krishna does that. He has their hair stand on end and they speak in tongues and do all kinds of really far out things in those revivals. And we can see even when we come to Krishna consciousness, those first few complimentary, bonuses that we get, from Krishna. It's described in the Nectar of Devotion that we get immediate relief from material distress, right? And there you go in the kitchen and that new bhakta is like in bliss doing those pots. In bliss. Ah, this is ecstasy. That inspiration. Krishna gives you that little bonus. But inspiration is not always just a zap. It's not just a button that's pushed on you that goes away after some time. But actually, it's a very, it's not stagnant. It's very increasing. It should be increasing, like Krishna said, like I said, as you surrender me, I will reward you accordingly. I don't know if you've ever been to like a chiropractor or something like that or anything. They put your hand on your chest and say, breathe. And it's like a shallow breathing, and they move it down. And then when you get down to your stomach, you actually learn how to really breathe deeply. And sometimes it's painful, but you feel like, wow, I've really experienced what breathing is like. I wish I'd breathe like that all the time. So in the same way, our connection with Krishna through chanting is something like that it can be very superficial and we're not receiving that inspiration so much. But as we learn the art of going deeper and deeper, actually learning to receive the inspiration through chanting, through Krishna's holy name, we can actually go to a whole nother level. So it's not just the zap, but it's not just a mechanical thing, but it's the art of learning bhakti, of actually learning how to go deeper and deeper. Just like, and this is the verse that describes this so nicely, this Tesham Satata Yutanam. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. So this is that ingredient that we're looking for, that we're digging deeper for, that we're trying to breathe deeper into, is that quality of devotion and love, which is in the heart, but it's very much covered over. And we're very reluctant to do those exercises enthusiastically, to be able to go in and understand that we really need to connect to that little other bird. We really need to turn and give it that Krishna attention. And then he'll be very, very glad to give us so much empowerment. Like we see Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he got empowered directly because he was there with all his desire, no material desire, but just the desire to advance in spiritual life. And this is what it really takes. Poets like Krishnadas Kaviraj and Narottam Das Thakur, they were understanding that that they were composing only through the dictation from within. They actually admit that. Even Prabhupada admitted that Krishna is just speaking this. I didn't write these books. That they were being inspired because they were so submissive and so devoted, just like Bali Maharaj here. He's at a very submissive point in his life, and therefore Krishna is benedicting him, giving him great empowerment up to where he's going to become a Mahajan and be able to empower so many other persons. We're being empowered just hearing about his surrender. So this is the yoga, this is the connection that we're actually supposed to be taking part in. We're actually supposed to be going deeper and deeper, connecting more and more to Krishna, so that every day we can have revelations. So every day we can become empowered. And that's the program. And then we can go and empower others. So it's just a matter of really being in tune. Has anyone ever been in an orchestra? I was first chair violin in junior high school. And to be in an orchestra, you know, everything's got to really be in tune. You got to really watch the conductor. You got to really be in tune with the conductor too, because it's got to work together to produce something nice. And so you use each instrument in a different way, and you watch him, and he points to you and tells you to go faster or higher or whatever. So that's what it takes if we want to become empowered, if we want to be inspired, and really be a useful limb on Lord Chaitanya's tree to empower others. Then we have to be in tune with Srila Prabhupada's and all these great acharyas' mission, which is to spread the fruits that are on this tree. Not only are we supposed to eat them and enjoy dancing and singing and chanting and everything, but we're supposed to distribute them. That's what the limbs do. So we can be empowered, just like Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami. They were very much in tune to Lord Chaitanya, and they were very submissive. They sat down and listened for days. And Lord Chaitanya could see that humility and that submissiveness. So he benedicted them with so much knowledge, which is still there today. Rama, and even Rupa Goswami knew Lord Chaitanya's heart so well that when he wrote that verse and left it on the hut, and they found it, his Srupa Damodar read it and said, only Rupa Goswami would know your heart like this. And Ramananda Roy, too, he also resonated with Lord Chaitanya's heart. He was in tune with what was there. So we also have to become that conductive person, that conductive devotee. There's a nice prayer. I'm sure you'll all recognize it, but maybe it'll give a little bit more meaning to what I'm saying. It's a prayer for empowerment. And I'll read two of them. How will I make them understand this message of Krishna consciousness? I am very unfortunate, unqualified, and the most fallen. Therefore, I'm seeking your benediction so that I can convince them, for I am powerless to do so on my own. Somehow or other, O Lord, you have brought me here to speak about you. Now, my Lord, it is up to you to make me a success or a failure as you like. So Srila Prabhupada was in that mood. He knew what his spiritual master wanted, what Lord Chaitanya wanted, and he was very submissive, feeling unqualified, feeling very humble. But Lord Chaitanya and Krishna noticed, the attention was there. Oh, this person, he wants to help. So therefore, I will empower him, and we can just see the empowerment that Srila Prabhupada is, has demonstrated. I was listening to these very enlivening tapes of Yadabar, and this Sunday there was one, Bhakti Tirtha Swami was saying that when he had to go to the Iron Curtain, he went to the Iron Curtain and distributed a lot of books and did a lot of very dangerous things in Europe at the time, and he went to Srila Prabhupada in Mayapur, and Prabhupada was glorifying him, and he said to the devotees, he said, all of you here, give your benediction to Bhakti Tirtha Swami. And he was saying, the Prabhupada, you know, you can benedict me, you know. And the Prabhupada said, no, they also have the power to give blessings. And they should. This is their duty. So not only are we supposed to become inspired, but we're also supposed to give that. It's just an extension of Krishna's hand. I know sometimes people say, can you bless, give me some blessings, and it's like, what's that saying in the Mahabharata, Aishman Baba or something like that, you know, Aishman, you know, and you feel you're not qualified to give some blessing. But actually, Prabhupada was saying that we should. It's not that, he said that I'm not the only one qualified to ask for the blessings, but you all also are qualified. It's because it's not coming from me, it's coming from Krishna. But we have to have that desire to ask Krishna, please, benedict this person, inspire this person, use me, empower me to give this blessing. But you're really giving it. So this is a very important, I think we have a tendency to think that we're not qualified, but somehow or other we have to become inspired and understand that we have that duty to do that. And so when we talk about inspiration, we think, well, sometimes I'm inspired and sometimes I'm not. Sometimes we go into remission for years and we just, you know, not really inspired to do this or do that. But I used to be inspired. And sometimes it's stronger than others. And so what really is blocking this? What is the interference in that heart? What is the interference coming in that we don't want to be inspired? And it's described that it's interaction with the three modes of material nature, just like Sukracharya here. There's interference. He's not connected to Krishna because he has this lust, greed, envy, whatever you want to pin down on him. But it happens to us too. We still interact, even mentally. How many times have you sat down and tried to chant your japa? And all kinds of interference, right? Oh my gosh. This is passing through. Oh, my economic situation. Oh, my teenage kid. Oh, my. And it goes on and on and on. And you sitting there trying, and it's just like the line's busy, totally busy. And you never get to speak to Krishna. You never get to hear Krishna. And you've done your job, and you go away, and you're, you know, waste of time, you know. Oh, I did it. It was duty. But we haven't really stepped up, like I said, to that next level, because there's so much interference. So it's hard work, you know, although, you know, it said it's an easy process, it's bhakti yoga. But it is hard work. Therefore, we need determination. We need patience, and we need to ask for the blessings of everyone to be able to overcome our lingering attachments and things like that. But Prabhupada, he gave a perfect process where we can be inspired every single day if we just take it up, right? There's so many things that we can do to become inspired. There's a nice little prayer. It's a prayer by Narottam Das Thakur. It kind of explains how he becomes inspired. It's really a beautiful song. It's called Dhanyamora Nityananda. My treasure is Lord Nityananda. This is Narottam Das Thakur speaking. My treasure is Lord Nityananda. My master is Lord Gaurachandra. And my very life force is a youthful divine couple of Braja. My strength is Advaitacharya. My family is Gadadhar Pandit. And Nahari Shakar is my very activity. My playful bath is taken in the dust from the feet of the devotees. And my satisfaction is in hearing and speaking the names of the Vaishnavas. My contemplation time is spent relishing the nectar of devotion, highlighted by periodic quotations from the Srimad Bhagavatam. My mind is fixed on obtaining the devotees' food remnants, and I blossom with joy at the remembrance of the Vaishnavas' names. My mind simply surrounds the raised platform in Vrindavan where the rasa dance is performed. Thus speaks the lowly Narottam Das Thakur. So this is how he becomes inspired. Much of it is in the association of devotees. So that's why Prabhupada made these temples and the morning program and the festivals and so many things that are going on in Krishna consciousness to bring us together and to inspire and to bless each other and encourage each other so that we can do something wonderful for Srila Prabhupada. This blockage, these material desires are what's keeping us away. But if we associate with people who have the desire of Srila Prabhupada to push on this movement, the missionary spirit that we don't hear enough about, then that inspiration will be there every day when we're chanting, when we're taking the remnants of the prasadam. So we just have to take it up. It's not the process. The process is not imperfect. It's perfect. It's just our participation in it. I thought I would just do a little show and tell here. Lila Padma gave me this picture a long time ago, and I called her last night to find out where she ever got it from. But it's a picture, she says, that she found in something that was left over in a South Indian temple long, many, many years ago. And when she used to live in Madras, she found it in someone's belongings that were left there. And it's a wonderful picture of our dear Srila Prabhupada. It's almost unrecognizable, but it's in the Radhadabhadar courtyard. So many trees there, now there's just so many. And there's looks like the original Rupa Goswami Samadhi that he's laying down now, down in front, in which he spent much of his prayerful hours at the feet in the shade of Rupa Goswami's Samadhi to become inspired to come here and to save us. So it's a picture you've probably never seen before, but it's very wonderful. So I'll pass it around and make sure you get it back. But this is how Prabhupada got inspired, by praying and begging the blessings of previous acharyas. So we should, on this day, as humbly as we possibly can, beg the mercy of these great acharyas, and get in the mood of Bali Maharaj, of surrendering everything. Why not in this lifetime? Why don't we just surrender everything this lifetime and get out of here? But take other people with us. If we have that attitude of really wanting to surrender like Bali Maharaj, we will get empowerment. We will be able to be maybe a teeny tiny twig on that limb of the Krishna consciousness movement of Lord Chaitanya's tree. But maybe we can do something to help distribute some of this love of Godhead, and find some way to inspire others. I was just reading Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. he got very inspired to do something really far out, and he had these theistic exhibitions, you know, with all the models of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes and everything. And he was able to inspire people from all over India to come and see these clay exhibits and to hear of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. He did a really wonderful service in that way of inspiring others just by doing something like that. So sometimes something in this lifetime we can do to inspire others. But we really have to listen to Prabhupada's heart, to the heartbeat, and let it resonate in our hearts so that we can become inspired and inspire others. So maybe someone else would like to say something or ask a question? Uh-huh.
There was a question earlier. You had mentioned that if one of these personalities was up in New York, we could go and associate with them. How much would? But what's it like when we're just hearing their words and their instructions? That's a type of association, isn't it, Devani?
Yeah, unfortunately, mine is very shallow breathing. Yeah, that's why it's nice to read in groups. You can go deeper. I would highly recommend you have some kind of a reading group at least once a week, and like I say, it's a whole other step. We have to go deeper and to the devotion, like it says here. It's the devotion in the Bhagavad Gita, 1855. It says, "To those who are constantly devoted to serve me with love, I give the understanding." So there's more understanding, like you say. We can get so much understanding from these books, but I know I need help. I don't know about you, but for me to sit at night with my book in my hand, and it falls three times, I realize it's time to go to sleep. You know, we need to go deeper and take advantage, like you say, of reading and chanting, deity worship, fall in love with the deity. This can be an inspiration. Prabhupada recommended that we go to these holy places, like you see him here. Go to the most sacred holy places and sit there and try to imbibe whatever works for you, but become inspired. But everything is available, it's true. We can meet all these great personalities by hearing about them and discussing them and praying to them. Somebody else? Yes, Gandhi, please.
Thank you. I want to thank you for bringing that picture. I was sitting in my car listening to class. I heard this going on, so I decided to come in and see it. It's very beautiful.
It must have been about 1970, I think, when they had those nectar devotion classes or something, and they caught him taking rest from the shade or something. Leela Padma gave it to me for my birthday one time.
You should make copies.
Yeah. Yeah, we need to fall in the shade of the lotus feet of all the great Vaishnavas. And we can do that by hearing about them and by serving them. Anybody else? Okay, all glories to these great personalities. Glories to Srila Prabhupada.